I'm going to introduce our speaker for you today, Alex Gonzalez, who is a personal friend of mine and a friend in ministry. He's really been a blessing to me over the years. He's been in pastoral ministry for over 20 years. As of January of 2025, so this month apparently, serving as the DFW Regional Catalyst. So helping coach, lead, guide, serve churches, pastors, and associations right here around the DFW area is the idea. So Alex served in a small church down in Balch Springs. So I get criticized either way I say it. I just don't know what to do. So anyway, pastored a church, you know, down here in just south of Dallas. For a good while, small church, and I just want to give you an illustration of somebody who is committed to ministry. In that context, rather than trying to figure out how he could leapfrog to a larger ministry or something else, different venue for setting, he started serving as a mentor to students who were going into ministry and had a whole load of students come through serving under him to work toward their ordination and to go and get involved in ministries all over the state right now. And I could not get enough students to him. It was tremendous training and a great opportunity for them. I love Alex's love of the ministry and of serving anywhere, anytime, any way that he can. And it's always been a privilege to be around him for that reason. So I hope you'll listen and appreciate him as a person who is committed to ministry in that way. By the same token, one of the things I appreciate about him is going to be evident today. And so I'm just going to say it to you. We know it's the end of the semester. We know how many students are in the room and are not in the room. We get it. We understand what you're experiencing right now. I just want to say something to you, though, just as a way of encouragement. Imagine for yourself just for a moment the entire room completely filled with students all sitting around you. How many of those students were you responsible for making holy today? You're in exactly the same position you would be in if the room was filled. Your only responsibility is to hear what God has for you and to respond to that. And one of the things you're going to learn doing ministry, you will meet all kinds of people who are in ministry who rely on the energy of the room to do what they do. That's what they're really just feeding off the crowd, and they're benefiting from the crowd being there. That's just not what you do as a minister. As a servant, you bring the leadership to the room. You provide the things that are needed in the room. And I've always seen Alex do that. Doesn't matter if there are two people or 1,000 people. God has put him in small settings where he has served incredibly faithfully and has put him in front of huge crowds where he has served equally faithfully and the Lord has blessed. So I encourage you to hear from a man who loves the Lord and wants to serve you today, Alex Gonzalez. Welcome, my friend, here. Come on. Thank you very much. Nice to have you, brothers.
Thank you for the kind words, Dr. Creamer. Okay, it's on. Unlike my friend last week, who did not have his mic on, mine is on. So, but it's good. Matter of fact, it's like, you know, when you're pastoring a church or ministering to a church, you're like, let's rope off some section to get everybody closer to me. And this is the reality. I told Creamer that I was going to quote some Epictetus, and he says it's our attitude. It is our attitude, right, toward events, not events themselves, which ultimately we can control. And nothing is by itself more calamitous. Even death itself is terrible if we fear it. And there are going to be things that happen to you in life and in love and leadership and all of those things. And it's not really those things that are the problem. It's how we ultimately respond to those things. If you have your copy of God's Word, let me invite you to turn to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And I chose it for a couple of reasons, but really the primary reason is to bring hopefully some encouragement to you in your life and in your walk right now, wherever you find yourself, and that's really what it is. And we just again quoted from an ancient Stoic, and And that is life. That is leadership. And it's not missed upon me that I realize where I am, who's in the room, and for that I am grateful. Let me just kind of share with you Habakkuk chapter 3. Hopefully it doesn't take you long to get there since you are at Criswell. It may, and that's fine. I start off by saying that maybe like some of you or none of you, maybe it's a family member or a friend that school and you just don't get along. That's the story of my life. How many 20-year-olds do we have in the room? If you're roughly 19, 20, 21, like a few of you, right? It was when you were born when I started towards my undergrad degree. I was a second, really a third career guy before the Lord really got a hold of me. After coming to faith at 14 years of age, it was 13 years later where he said, hey, enough. And you're gonna serve me. And I didn't even know really what that looked like. And I had a mentor who's still in my life today, some 35 years. He is a graduate of Criswell, worked on his master's here by the name of Earl Hammonds. He was in his first pastorate 25 years ago. And he said, hey, come and help me. And my response to him, zero exaggeration, was help you do what? And I don't have time to go into the series of really what I would call supernatural events, the Lord sovereignly working together, orchestrating people's lives that really impacted my life. And then he said, you need to go to Criswell College. And now keep in mind, growing up, my family never talked about, encouraged, or even pursued education at all. And maybe that's some of your stories. And maybe some of you excelled in that context. And that's great if you did. It's so bad for me that I've taken enough courses to probably have two undergrads. And some of you will get that. And some of the professors I see here now. And one of your professors I was in class with back in the day, Dr. Jeff Campbell, who I appreciate him, and just seeing how the Lord has also used him. But I am grateful for the patience and the grace that the Lord not only displayed to me, but by the men and women in this room, and Dr. Creamer being one of them. And it is so bad that I thought I was going to graduate in 2023. Really, the last 3 years, I thought I was going to graduate every year. And so much so that my mentor decided to get me a graduation ring. And I don't even wear this. I wore it today for this sole purpose, that it is inscribed on there, 2023. But I didn't graduate 2023. I graduated. It took me a whole nother year, even after the ring was made and sent to me. And I keep it because that's the story of my life. I could easily get it changed, corrected, right, to properly represent. I know what it means. So that's really what I want to encourage you on today. Habakkuk 3, the last three verses, 17, 18, and 19, and like every preacher, you know, if they were to tag this message, it would be this: embrace the hard, embrace the difficult. Whether you're going to be a elementary school teacher, an attorney, a politician, a garbage collector, or whether you're going to be a pastor or a missionary, or a president of a college, an institution, wherever the Lord takes you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, You know this. I know you're being taught this. If you have a pulse, you are a minister of the gospel. You may not receive your paycheck, so to speak, from said ministry. You may be a layman or a laywoman in the church. And by all means, we need good laymen and women in the church who are educated, who have that biblical worldview, who can go in to the church to help the pastors and the staffers and encourage them, but come alongside them and teach. But through all of that, there are going to be days, maybe weeks or months, where you feel like just throwing in the towel. And believe me, that was me on more than a dozen occasions. So much so that I even stopped classes for a semester. Obviously, what contributed to my 20-year journey. Most of it was because I just did not get along with school, and I struggled in school. Not because I didn't want to learn. Some of my favorite reads are of the church fathers or the Stoics or the Puritans, and I'm constantly consumed with that. But I'm reminded because that's what life is. And so embrace the hard. Wherever you find yourself, difficulty will come. The quit in your life and in your heart and in your mind will come. And so I draw your attention to the end of this eighth of 12 minor prophets, some 600 years before Christ. And just by way of summary, chapters 1 and 2, you probably know this, right? Really what we see is this, unlike any other prophet, we see this dialogue between the prophet and the Creator, between God Himself. I liken it to more than a dialogue. It's a back and forth. It's a question and an answer, maybe even an accusation and a response from God Himself. All right, let's take it one step further because some of us are really good at this. It's an argument. And some of us, maybe you're bent more like me and you love to argue. And I'm not even talking good critical arguments. I'm just talking argument for the sake of argument. I believe this is what this prophet is doing. He's questioning God two times, two series of arguments, and God patiently answers. And what he's arguing about are the injustices, the evil of his day. And he's like, what are you going to do about this? And God says, you just wait and see. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do things that don't make sense to you, that don't look right to you, but just hold on. Kind of like the exchange we see with Job. God says, where were you when I created all of this? And the reality is, and I promise I'm going to get here, but the reality is some of you are going to find yourselves sooner than later in difficult circumstances, and how you respond to that will ultimately define you. And so you have this in mind, this argument between this prophet and God. And then he has this change of heart in chapter 3, and it's this prayer or a hymn that was meant to be sung in the temples and really to the people. And so let's read Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19. This transition, and he ends with these beautiful words that James Montgomery Boyce states, right? This hymn of faith. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, watch this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. One more verse. The Lord God is my strength. He will make me my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Not the high heels you wear, right? Okay. To the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Father, encourage your students, your people, your church today in these few moments we have. In Christ's name, amen. Verse 17 really speaks to something that I was thinking about the other day. Today, actually, being the second birthday of my father, the man who raised me without him here on earth. 2 years ago, and yesterday would have been my mom's second birthday away from us. 2 years ago, Thanksgiving 2023, Christmas 2023, in a span of 5 weeks, both on Sundays, my dad goes to sleep, doesn't wake up. 5 weeks later, my mom, after spending 4 weeks in the hospital, she goes to be with the Lord on Christmas Eve. And I say all that to say because my dad was young. He wasn't my biological father, but he was the man that ultimately, if you will, rescued us. I was 5, he was 20. Hence, we're 15 years apart, so you can do the math. I think today he would have been 67. This May, I'll be 52. And we were just a few years apart, almost like a kid raising a kid. And when he took us in as a family, being only 20, he was in the grocery business down in South Texas. And just through a series of events, the Lord was kind to his work there in the grocery business. Some of you might find yourself in the grocery business. Who knows if that's even a thing? Most of you probably get your groceries through Amazon, which I am still holding off on ordering groceries or medication through Amazon. It wasn't just till a few years ago when you were in middle school or high school when I first ordered my first books off of Amazon. I just didn't want to be a part of that. But anyways, because we see it happening, right? We see stores that are shutting down and malls that are closing down. But my dad, being in the grocery business, got transferred up here to North Texas. And I don't know why this resonates with me, but he would always say that, man, if the trucks that transport our goods, the semis, if the trucks that transport our goods here in America ever go down or shut down, we are done. We're toast in a matter of days. Let's just say 2 weeks. Never did that become more of a reality to me that when you were in high school, when COVID hit, 5 years ago, and the first time you go to the grocery store and the shelves are empty. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I can't live off the land. As a matter of fact, I called some of my police officer buddies who were kind of, what do they call them? Preppers, doomsday preppers. We used to make fun of them. And then when COVID hit and I saw the grocery shelves empty, I called a couple of my buddies and I apologized. I repented because I realized those are the guys I needed most if I was to ever experience that longer than just a few days. My point is in Habakkuk's time, whether this was because of the Babylonian captivity or the havoc that they put on these people and this land because they were not a nice people that the Lord raised up to ultimately discipline them. The fig tree, the olive tree, the fields, the crops, the sheep, the goats, the cattle. There was none of that. Now, we're not privy to know how long they were in that season of drought or difficulty, but we know it was a reality. Some of our grandparents and great-grandparents could attest to that. And maybe it's not sustenance that these people were only experiencing. Maybe it was economics, right? Like this was a way of life. They needed this to survive. They needed this for nutrition, but they also needed this for income. I know this is hard for many of us to relate because my daughter, who is graduating high school next month, who will be 18 in just a couple of weeks, this is hard for her to grasp because she's got us, mom and dad, right? As much as we want to gently push her, my son who just got married, he's out, he's on his own, who's teaching in a public school, coaching in a public school, just 3 years into it, he's already done. And it's at the school he actually went to. It's for the football team he actually played for. But he's done. He's ready to go do some grad work, and he's ready to change careers because of the difficulty. And I'm like, I was sharing with Creamer this morning, it's not an original thought with me. I'm like, look, it's easier to find a job when you have a job. And because he's ready to throw in the towel, and I'm like, look, if you do, depending on the savings you have, mom and I can't help you, maybe for a couple of days. Plus, we just end up paying for his wedding, partially paid for his wedding, which they were smart not to include me in the planning, although I wish they would have, because I would not have allowed them to get married at a venue. I'm like, I got friends all over the North Texas, the churches and chapels, you know. I mean, we could have gotten married here at minimal cost, but no. So bad, so during a week of planning, my wife goes and meets with them, and she's like, look, if we go from a Friday night to a Thursday night, we can save $5,000. And they were like, no. No thanks. Because it's, you know, it's easy right now until you don't have, but it is when you don't have that we experience really what we're made of. And these are formative years for you. Do not take it for granted, because when I was your age, oh, I took it for granted. As a matter of fact, I went the long route, not just in my education, but in my relationships. I was that stubborn. I was that hard-headed. I was that argumentative. I was that right about everything, except I was not right about anything. Why do I mention this? Because maybe it's not sustenance or economics. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a season of drought, something that you're experiencing in your life right now. Some of you maybe are questioning, what do I do with this education? Or do I even continue in my education? I assure you that even if it's not in a local church context where you receive your weekly or monthly or annually income or your benefits, the Lord is going to use you if you stay consistent, right? If you learn to embrace the hard. That's really the essence of Stoic like philosophy, where it's the obstacle is the way. One of my favorite authors who's barely 40, New York Times bestseller, not from our camp. By the way, it's okay. This is where I learned to read outside of our camp and be okay with it. Ryan Holiday, who lives down in the Bastrop area, has reinvigorated really Stoicism and Greek philosophy. And he has this trilogy. Maybe it's more than three books, but one of them, and they're short reads, right? But obstacle is the way. That's one. The second one is ego is the enemy, which I could do a whole nother conversation on that, not only because of my own life, but because of those that I'm called to serve. We all struggle with that. And then the third book of the three or four is Stillness is the Key. It's really the spiritual disciplines, right? Nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. My point is when you find yourself in opposition or you find yourself in difficulty, maybe not by someone else's hands, but by your own hands, which is where most of my trouble comes from, you hold on to really that faith, that core conviction, or as Marcus Aurelius would say, like the citadel, like your steel, your spine, your backbone. That's what's going to continue, or at least help you continue. So whether it's through destruction or devastation, whatever it is, this is really the key right here, these next two verses. Habakkuk says, okay, I've argued with you. I've seen the injustices, the evil of my day. I've questioned you. I've put you on the spot. You've put me in my place. We've gone without. And this is the essence of the Christian life, right? This is for us. Even though it's ancient, 2,600 years ago, it is still for us, and yet I will rejoice. When was the last time you rejoiced in difficulty? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I mean, at the end of the day, for some of us, that's all we have. I assure you, there's going to be days where you don't feel like you're saved. There's going to be days where you don't act like you're saved. For me, for the longest time, I would classify that under, again, not an original thought with me, but this imposter syndrome, right? I had no place being here. I have no business being friends with the friends I am with in this room, Dr. Creamer being one of them and others. I have no business doing what I'm doing right now vocationally. My first 6 months when I transitioned to this full-time position 7 years ago, my first 6-8 months, I was more depressed than I usually am because I saw the resumes, I saw the degrees, I saw the pedigree of men and women that would come through our system feeling called to vocational ministry. And I felt like I've cheated them, or God has cheated me, one of the two. Listen, just wherever you find yourself, will you just somehow, some way, find it in your citadel, in your core, to rejoice in Him. This is really the essence of Philippians 4:13, when Paul says, I can do all things, right? Probably only the second thing I learned here was through exegetical fallacies, right? We tend to take that verses like that out of context. But no, what Paul's saying is, regardless, if it takes me 20 years to get my undergrad, right, I'm going to embrace the hard. I'm going to be content. And then verse 18, he just kind of reiterates here. He just puts the nail in this. The Lord God is my strength. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation, and He is my strength. Did you notice that it's not about Habakkuk's strength? There's nothing wrong with that, with being, you know, self-assured or self-made or self-motivated, self-disciplined. Nothing wrong with that at all. But as a believer, as a follower of Christ, it's imperative that we know where our strength comes from. That Holy Spirit, right? He gives you the shoulders to endure what you've endured. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. And He says, let this be played and sung in the temples among your people. This is how important this is. Speaking of God rejoicing in the Lord because He is your salvation and your strength. And I hope this isn't too personal, but the last, I don't know, less than 2 weeks, Wednesday, so tomorrow will be 2 weeks, I've had a series of three deaths, and ultimately three funerals, ranging from the age of 17 to the age of 79. Two of them I knew well. Two of them I would not be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for them. The first one, I came to faith under his ministry in May of 1987. Your parents might not even be that old, but I did. And it was through a series of events, through moral failure that he had experienced, where the Lord, even pre-ministry days, seeing how he was treated by the people he was faithful to, shepherding to, like for almost 30 years, seeing how he was treated, something in my mind, I didn't know the term Imago Dei, but something in my mind said, okay, he's wrong, he stepped down, he's still a person, he's still got to be loved on. Well, he passed away Friday, two Fridays ago. We had a service Wednesday. And I came to faith and was baptized under his ministry. And then Friday, lost a dear friend who ultimately was the one who invited me. Dr. Mike Smith passed away unexpectedly, invited me to voluntarily lead in the state convention. I had no clue about convention or denominational life. As a matter of fact, I didn't even care. He's like, come serve. And I'm like, I don't even know what you just said. And we'll have his funeral in 2 days. And then the 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I'm sure you've seen the news, but Wednesday, April the 2nd in Frisco at a field I frequent, a young man's life was taken way too soon, Austin Metcalf. It's been all over social media, at least mine. We had his service yesterday, Saturday. I didn't know Austin well. I just knew him because my daughter's first job at a pizza joint there in Frisco McKinney, she worked with Austin and Austin's mom. She was closer to his twin brother, Hunter. And while they weren't best friends, it still hit home. And it still made me realize how precious life is. And you just never know. Both families, Carmelo Anthony's family, Austin Metcalf's family, regardless of where you stand on that, that's not the point. The point is that two families, two groups of friends have been affected forever. And what will we do through that? And to be quite honest with you, I didn't know what to expect at the service on Saturday of Austin's. But being that my daughter is 17, being that he was 17, being that Carmelo is 17, I more than ever. But by all accounts, he was a believer. By all accounts, he lived life to the fullest. By all accounts, he told his teammates, his football teammates, he told his friends of all walks of life, of all shades of colors. He would constantly remind them that he loved them and he was for them. And how difficult that must be for his family and friends. Not to get too heavy on you, but life is not fair. But how you ultimately choose to respond to it is really what's going to make the days easier or more difficult. And I just close with this Puritan prayer. And if you've never received a copy of The Valley of Vision, a collection of Puritan prayers, may I encourage you to do so and just listen to these words that were penned years ago. If I should suffer need and go unclothed and be in poverty, make my heart prize thy love. Know it, be constrained by it, though I be denied all blessings, it is thy mercy to afflict and try me with wants. For by these trials I see my sins and desire severance from them. Let me willingly accept misery, sorrows, temptations, if I can thereby feel sin as the greatest evil and be delivered from it with gratitude to thee, acknowledging this as the highest testimony of thy love. When thy son Jesus came into my soul, instead of sin, he became more dear to me than sin had formerly been. His kindly rule replaced sin's tyranny. Teach me to believe that if ever I would have any sin subdued, I must not only labor to overcome it, but must invite Christ to abide in the place of it. And he must become to me more than vile lust had been, that his sweetness, power, life may be there. Thus I must seek a grace from his contrary to sin, but must not claim it apart from himself. When I am afraid of evils to come, comfort me by showing me that in myself I am a dying, condemned wretch, but in Christ I am reconciled and I live. That in myself I find insufficiency and no rest, but in Christ there is satisfaction and peace. That in myself I am feeble and unable to do good, but in Christ I have ability to do all things. His last few words, though now I have his grace in part, I shall shortly have them perfectly in that state where thou wilt show myself fully reconciled and only sufficient, efficient, loving me completely with sin abolished. O Lord, hasten the day. Loved ones, would you learn to embrace the hard? Father, thank you for our time this morning. Lord, as Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, wherever these precious young men and women find themselves, Lord, may they embrace the hard. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Nicely done. All right, y'all join me in thanking Alex for coming out. Appreciate it. And if you'll stand up with me, I will send you out with simply the prayer at the very end of Habakkuk that I'm taking from the verse he shared with us last. May the Lord your God be your strength, make your feet like the deer's, and make you to tread on high places. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.